WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, we are local, and it all starts with WTNS News.
For the children, I'm Jeremy Scott. Young kids in Ohio could soon be able to get their COVID-19 vaccinations. Ohio will begin receiving deliveries of Pfizer and Moderna vaccines for children between the ages of 6 months and 5 years on Monday. That's if the CDC gives the final approval tomorrow at its meeting. Dr. Bruce Vanderhoff, who's the director of the Ohio Department of Health, says these vaccines will be rolling out very soon.
Ohio's enrolled vaccine providers have begun placing orders for these vaccines, and the first deliveries are expected on Monday.
They are the only group of Americans currently still unable to get vaccinated. From the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office, one accident from yesterday. David Hess of Warsaw was backing from a parking spot in the 800 block of South 2nd Street when he struck a vehicle driven by Christy Spence of Coshocton. Four complaints. Deputies responded to the 16,000 block of County Road 271 in Franklin Township on a report involving an unruly juvenile. Deputies issued a parking citation in the 1,000 block of Denman Avenue. Alyssa Bollock of Coshocton reported damage to a vehicle and her home from a tree that fell during the storm. And Deborah O'Neill of Wills Creek reported damage to her car from a tree limb. West Lafayette Police Department at 2:54 p.m. Officers responded to a civil complaint in the 500 block of North George Street. It was handled as such. At 6:46 p.m., an officer responded to a suspicious person call at the Circle K in the 300 block of West Main Street. When the officer arrived, everything checked out okay. And at 8:33 p.m., an officer made a traffic stop on the 21,000 block of State Route 751. The National Weather Service has confirmed three tornadoes touched down in multiple Ohio counties Monday night. Those tornadoes, all rated EF1, with winds near or just above 100 miles an hour, happened within a 16-minute span as a round of severe storms passed through the state. The first tornado hit in Morrow County around 11:17 p.m. It started in Mount Gilead, then traveled 3 miles, ending in Chesterville, damaging farm buildings and a trailer. The second one touched down in Morrow and Knox counties between Chesterville and Fredericktown, uprooting trees. The third one hit Richland and Ashland counties near Mohican State Park. The National Weather Service and Coshocton County EMA Director Rob McMasters got together yesterday, and it was confirmed by the NWS that there were no tornadoes that touched down in Coshocton County. Rather, they were all just straight-line winds. Customers of one of Ohio's power companies may be eligible for reimbursement for food that spoiled because of this week's outages. AEP says you can file a claim for food that may have been ruined during a power outage, but that doesn't typically apply to transmission line damage. Whether or not it includes an intentional outage, as happened by AEP this week, is a little unclear. Still, you can take pictures of all the spoiled food, then head to the claims section of the AEP website. That's where you can submit those photos in order to get a possible reimbursement. The chair of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, Jennifer French, says her commission will look into this week's deliberate power outages conducted by AEP, which the utility says were necessary to prevent wider problems with the electric grid. PUCO says it'll do an after-action review on the case, and the chairperson French explained what exactly that means.
We'll sit down, understand hopefully a little more of the technical end of things, and make decisions as a regulator as to what, if anything, needs to be done in the future to avoid situations like this.
French says it's too premature to say whether or not any fines or penalties could result from this review. You can count the Coshocton County Career Center among the local schools whose teachers will carry guns on campus when they're able to do so. Following the passage of House Bill 99 and this Monday's subsequent signing by Governor Mike DeWine, Superintendent Matt Colvin says he'll be an advocate for it.
My plan is to take it to our Board of Education to get that approved. And for me, it's just another layer of safety for our teachers and our students and all those who are in our building.
At the board's regular monthly meeting yesterday, Colvin went around the table to get each board member's stance on the matter. The majority said it approved, though no vote was formally taken. Colvin says that formal vote will likely come during July's meeting. Additionally, the Career Center has updated its active shooter plan, and Colvin plans to roll that out a little bit later on this summer. Three former fraternity members have been sentenced to county jail terms for their roles in the hazing death of a Bowling Green State University student. Two others were ordered yesterday to serve house arrest. The charges stem from the March 2021 death of Stone Foltz, a 20-year-old sophomore from Delaware, Ohio. He died of alcohol poisoning after a fraternity initiation event in which he was hazed into finishing an entire bottle of alcohol. He was later found unconscious by a roommate after members of the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity dropped him off at his apartment. Foltz died 3 days later after he was put on life support. And the housing market looks like it might be cooling somewhat. Some of the nation's largest real estate companies are laying off employees. Redfin says it's reducing its workforce by 8%. They say demand for services was 17% below expectations in May. Compass says it's cutting about 450 of its 4,500 employees. The company's also pausing hiring, expansion, and mergers and acquisitions until the end of the year. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
It is 5 minutes after 9 o'clock and 79 degrees currently in Coshocton. Good morning, everyone. It is time for the Communication Lines program. It is a Friday, the final day of, well, it has been a topsy-turvy week here locally and weather-wise and indeed around the country and around the world as well. But during our second hour this morning, we're going to try to lighten up a bit and have some fun. Maybe talk about movies or music or travel or local history. It'll be entirely up to you. We'll have open phone lines after the 10 o'clock news this morning, maybe before that. Our guest for the first hour, we meet once a month now, and it is Rob McMaster. He is the director of the Coshocton County EMA and also the spokesperson for the Coshocton County COVID-19 Unified Command. And good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Mike. And you're right, you know, we typically only talk once a month, except for this week and those times when things get kind of crazy in Coshocton County.
You and Troy have had a crazy week, no doubt about that. We're certainly going to get to that and talk about the weather and the storms earlier this week now that we've had some time to assess the damage. Jeremy had the story about no tornadoes here in Coshocton County, but there were some in Ohio. But we'll set that on the back burner for now. What about COVID? What are the latest numbers and trends? Are things getting better, getting worse, or staying about the same?
And looking at our numbers today, and these are as of the 2 o'clock yesterday, update yesterday on the coronavirus.ohio.gov website. For Coshocton County, we're looking at 6,245 confirmed cases, 1,981 probable cases, for a total of 8,226. And keeping in mind, these are cumulative since this all began back in March of 2020. On that total number, that's an increase of 175 since May 20th. So the number from April to May increase was much less than that. So we've seen a pretty good, you know, uptick in the last month compared to the previous months from month to month. Our deaths are still at 160. That hasn't changed. Presumed recovered is 7,917. We are seeing a little bit of an uptick in numbers, and looking at numbers from Coshocton Regional Medical Center, their numbers are up a little bit as well. They've had 49 positive tests since last month, so people being treated or going to Coshocton Regional Medical Center to be tested, that number's up a little bit. We're still, you know, COVID's still out there. We still have to take, you know, the precautions against it. It's going to take time. And I know we've been saying this since this all began. You know, to get a virus that has hit the world under control takes a lot of time. The numbers that we're seeing now, you know, an increase of 175 in the last month pales in comparison to what we were seeing and some of our busiest times when we were seeing those kind of numbers in just a couple of weeks. But it just points out that COVID is still out there.
Perspective has proven to be difficult throughout the entire pandemic, particularly with all the baloney that's floating around out there on the internet and elsewhere. You mentioned that the number of deceased have remained the same. Is there a gauge or a measure, whether it's hospitalizations, whether it's reported symptoms, that indicates about the severity? It seems to me, just reading between the lines, that the severity of COVID, those that get COVID, is decreasing. But is that the case?
Now, if you're referring to like the severity of a transmission rate, that's based upon your numbers per 100,000. You know, that's how they really gauge on what the spread is looking like, on what that transmission rate is.
Are as many people getting as sick, having severe symptoms? Those that get COVID, are the strains that are out there that are predominant right now, are they as severe as they were in the offset or the height of the pandemic? We have fewer people, fewer lower transmission than we did a year or two ago. What about those that do catch it? How sick are they getting? Are they getting in comparison?
A lot of it depends upon whether or not they're vaccinated or not. I know some folks that in recent times, in recent weeks and months, have been vaccinated that have actually caught it, and their symptoms have been very mild. So you know that plays into it as well. But overall, I would say because we do now, the vaccination rate's not where we would like to see it. We would like to see up over 50%, well over 50% to be vaccinated. But being that we do have a large number of folks that are vaccinated, we're not seeing that huge number of serious cases and folks that are requiring that hospitalization to the point where, the hospitals were being, just completely, for lack of a better term, flooded with cases. We're not seeing that as much now as we had been, like last September and, last summer at this time. That's a positive thing. But the cases are still, popping up.
And so what about vaccination rates here in Coshocton County? And again, I am just sharing my observations or what I've seen or what I believe. It seems like pretty much everybody that wants to get vaccinated has done so. Is that the case? And then you can throw boosters into the mix as well.
Right now, looking at the stats, we're under 50% for the county. We're at 41.58%. Since last week, that's only a change of four. And I agree. As Unified Command, as those of us here in Coshocton County that were, really at the forefront of this and getting the vaccine available, making sure the vaccine was available and still is available to our residents, we knew we were going to get to the point where the bulk of those that wanted to get it were going to get it, and then we were going to kind of hit a stalemate. We were going to go to the people trickling in to get the vaccine. So we've been there for some time now, and looking around, just immediately around Coshocton County, Holmes County is at 19.4%, Knox is at 45.7%, Licking's 57.3%. Muskingum's 50.8, Guernsey's 46.2, and Tusk is 46.74. So we're not drastically below what our surrounding counties are. And we've talked about this before. If I go over to one of the top areas, Delaware County, they've 78.6 of Delaware County has been vaccinated, and they've been at a high rate for some time. Hamilton County's at 65.7. Let's see here. Franklin's 67.76. And Cuyahoga's at 68.40. I just pointed out the big three C's of Ohio. So when we're looking at those, the huge, huge population areas, we're significantly lower. But looking at our region of Ohio, we're right on track with them.
160 throughout the whole pandemic in Coshocton County, the numbers 160 that have been recorded as deceased on the Coshocton County statistics. When was the last fatality due to COVID that we have had here in Coshocton County?
I'll preface as I bring that up. I'll preface it with this. And I've stated this before, that 160 is those that have been reconciled by the Ohio Department of Health, meaning that those death certificates have made it to the local health departments, and they have been reconciled and through the Ohio Department of Health.
Okay.
That is 160. That number is not accurate. because there are a lot of death certificates that don't make it to the local health departments. When somebody dies outside of the county, especially, a COVID death does not require that death certificate to find it to be, it's not required to be reported back to the county of residence, I should say. So that number is low. So I can't truly say when the last COVID okay. death was in Coshocton. Now, if I look back and go, I think it's probably been 3 or 4 months since we've had that number has changed. And I'm going to go back to February. Give me a second here. Not my computer update.
Okay, and this again, this is all for perspective to try to give the perspective where we are now compared to where we were in February or at the height of the pandemic.
Right, and in February that number was 153. So you know we've then we went to 159 in March. So you know we've seen just on that reconciled number just a little slight uptick. You know from February to I would say April. We went from 153 to 160, so we saw, you know, 7. And because of that reconciliation process, this could be why we saw, you know, 7 and what I would say would be a short amount of time. And I don't want to take away from, you know, all of those that, you know, that you, I can't tell you, you know, who is those 160, but, you know, I know many people. That you know did become victims of COVID-19, and I don't want to take away sure. from that at all. You know, these are regardless of that number is one or you know 1,000. We don't want to see anybody die from you know from a virus, especially something that you know we have in 2022 or 2020 when this all started. You know we have the ability to protect people. And something to you know, affect our lives when nobody, absolutely nobody, was prepared because we never anticipated something like this. You know, one is too many.
Well, when the pandemic became full blown across the country, across the world, across Ohio, we talked on a weekly basis about vaccines. The possibility of developing vaccine and the vaccine clinics. We were diligent about reporting our cases, and there was contact tracing. There were a lot of people in the health department making phone calls, and that diligence, that's not a good way of putting it. The intensity of the contact tracing and tracking COVID and its spread isn't or doesn't seem to be what it was a year and a half ago, and where I'm going with this is, and I'm calling for speculation here, but how much do you think is going unreported or undetected?
Oh, there's been an countless amount of numbers or cases that haven't been counted, and due to you know a variety of factors, and you and I have talked about those many times. And even today, we're still seeing it. And with the availability of the at-home rapid tests, that number, you know, surely has, you know, increased significantly. There's no way to really capture those and really give the true full picture of what we're seeing. And you know, and as far as, you know, you're right, you know, the contact tracing, and, you know, all of the steps that, you know, we have taken here in Coshocton County, where the steps Ohio has taken, the steps the nation has taken, you know, and this is a natural progression. And it's something, you know, we in emergency management, you know, we practice all the time. And it's even like storms, for example, when something occurs, you know, you set your plan on what you're going to do, and you have operational periods, and those can go from, you know, hours to days to weeks to months and years. But when everything kicks off, one of the first things you're actually also doing is you're looking at, okay, when things, you know, get better, when things start to improve, you know, how are you going to scale back? How are you going to demobilize? And that's exactly what has happened. We put all of our resources out there at the beginning and tackled this, you know, with every resource and effort that we could. And as things have gotten better, we've scaled back to an appropriate level so that, you know, the situation is still being handled and we're not throwing, and I don't want to say throwing really out, we're not putting forth any resources that, any extra resources that can be utilized elsewhere.
Before we had vaccines and when the pandemic was growing at the rate that it was, if somebody had a runny nose, there was a tendency to think, oh my gosh, I have COVID, I'm going to go get tested. Now if somebody has a runny nose, it's more likely that it would be just written off, oh, I have a cold or an allergy.
No, you're absolutely right. At the height of COVID, we still saw that as well, especially when quote unquote allergy season came about and then all of a sudden allergy season was all year long. And especially now you are going to see that. That goes right back to those cases that, you know, the example of the rapid at home test that we're never going to know that were a positive. Those just get kind of put in that pot of cases we'll never know about.
Well, and again, the vaccines came along. They have helped, but COVID is still out there. What about other medications and techniques or procedures that have been developed, not necessarily for prevention, but for treatment for people that that do have COVID? There's been various things that I've seen and read about, and I had one myself.
Yeah, and I know that there is the oral medication that if you start taking it within, I believe it's 5 days of onset of symptoms, it is used to treat the symptoms of COVID-19, and that was a stellar advancement because for a long time and when somebody would be sick with COVID-19, the only thing that doctors could do and hospitals could do was to treat them for their symptoms and. When we're looking at this, you know, COVID affected people differently. You know, we were seeing everything from neurologic issues to respiratory issues, gastrointestinal issues. It ran every end of the spectrum of the human body. Doctors were treating people based, each symptom. So, somebody might have six different symptoms that could, had to be treated with, five, six different medications. So having a medication now that can treat the overall COVID-19 symptoms is a stellar advancement. That's one of the biggest things I know, and I know the news. It was just on the news about the FDA has authorized first COVID-19 shots for infants and preschoolers. That's big news. It has been shown and proven that based on numbers, the numbers don't lie. They really tell the tale of how the vaccine has helped to reduce the spread of COVID-19. It's not by any means the Superman's cape and that keeps the bullet from penetrating you. You can still get COVID-19, but it decreases the likelihood, and if you do it's your best hope for having less severe symptoms and requiring hospitalization.
We have returned to some semblance of normalcy in terms of gathering together in groups and going about our daily lives. The disruptions that we had and the closures and some of the mandates and restrictions have been lifted. So moving forward, what advice does the CDC or the State Health Department or the Coshocton County EMA, for that matter, have as far as being diligent, continuing with mitigation efforts, mass distancing, et cetera, the hand washing? What is the best advice moving forward?
A lot of that really hasn't changed over the last several months. The basic hygiene, which we should be doing anyway. And if you're going to be in those crowded places, especially indoors, especially if you're not vaccinated, you should be wearing a mask, to protect yourself and protect others. And with vacation season, and folks are flying, Even though the airlines aren't requiring it, you're in a contained bubble in an airplane. So I would, highly suggest wearing, a mask on an airplane. Because we've heard for many years, people get sick from going on flights, and then the big one that you and I have talked about, the petri dish of a cruise. And that's a whole nother story to talk about. But when you're going to be in those close quarter indoor environments with groups of people that you are outside of your circle, and you don't know what they're doing, if they're sick, if they just that morning were sick and they really wanted to go to this event, you might want to consider wearing that mask and being able to protect yourself and others.
I so much want to cruise again, but the COVID has added a whole new dimension and something to consider. Rob, what else would you like to share with us about COVID? I know there's a lot of weather issues that we want to discuss, but what else is going on either with the Unified Command or with COVID that you'd like to share? Is the Unified Command still meeting or communicating at some level?
At this point, we're just communicating by email. If there's any significant issues that come up, and I can say no significant issues have come up, and that's a good thing. Everybody on the Unified Command knows that if something does come up, it may require us to all either get on the phone together on a conference call or meet in person if it's that significant of an event. And we've always, here in EMA, we've always worked really closely with the hospital and the health department, with all of the Unified Command. With the county health district being right here in our building, that really helps too. If anything were to come up, we have that real close communication. But as far as COVID in general, we still want everybody to, be safe out there and protect themselves and others against COVID.
All right, that is Rob McMasters from the Coshocton County EMA and the spokesperson for the COVID-19 Unified Command. We talk about COVID once a month now, and hopefully it doesn't have to get any more frequent than that. But this week, we've been talking more with Rob about the weather, and that's exactly what we're going to do when we come back right after these words.
Everybody loves a discount, and Grange Insurance offers dozens of them. Good student discounts, defensive driver discounts, home ownership discounts, multi-vehicle discounts, life insurance multi-policy.
Let the Jacobs Vanman Agency, your Grange independent agent, walk you through all the Grange discounts you may be eligible for. The Jacobs Vanman Agency can help you save a lot of money while you enjoy the worry-free experience of coverage with Grange. Call the Jacobs Vanman Agency at 622-1796.
Products not available in all states.
Do you know someone who is looking for a clean, cozy place to live? Tell your employees, relatives, and friends to call Bellflower Apartments at 622-6400. First floor modern apartments in a great location featuring central air, private patio, on-site laundry, and appliances are furnished. The best neighbors in Coshocton are waiting for you at Bellflower Apartments. 566 South 3rd Street, Coshocton, Ohio. We also have 2 and 3 bedroom homes for rent. 740-622-6400.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Covington Square, located on Browns Lane, is a carefree community for active seniors. At Covington Square, the utilities, all maintenance, and for added security, a 24-hour emergency alert system is provided as part of the very affordable monthly rent. And there's no long-term commitment. Located by Bueller's, is convenient to shopping, the restaurant, and a pharmacy. Contact the Covington Square Rental Office at 623-4603 or visit us online at covingtonsquareapartments.com for more information.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
If you're looking for the area's largest selection of collectibles and antiques, visit the Treasure Trove in Newcomers Town. The Treasure Trove has over 4,000 square feet of inventory with new truckloads every week. From estate items, hardware, household goods, pet supplies, glassware, toys, comics, vintage items, tools, and consignment items, they have it all at the Treasure Trove, 223 West Main Street in New Comerstown. Closed on Tuesdays, but open every other day from 10 until 7.
Sunshine today with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, clear, much cooler with lows in the mid-50s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with highs around 70. Currently, it is 79 degrees in Coshocton. And now we are back once again with Rob McMasters from the Coshocton County EMA with the storms that came through Coshocton County late Monday night. Still some power outages around the area. Rob, we talked shortly after the sun came up on Tuesday about the storms and that things came into clearer view. What more have you learned since then?
You know, not a whole lot, honestly. And what was really interesting about that morning is I always, you know, for me, you know, I know that we have an event that is affecting the whole county. When at 6 o'clock in the morning, I've talked to you or Jeremy or a few years ago, Ken, and right before, or I think it was right after I talked to you on Monday morning, I was actually interviewed by 10 TV. So that's how, you know, I know, that's how we know that we've got an event that is affecting the whole county.
Were you on TV in Columbus?
It was actually over the phone, and it's probably a good
okay.
thing. I likely looked like a zombie at that point of the day because I had been out all night along with all of our the fire departments and even then the utility companies, you know, on all the calls that were going out. So looking at things Monday night in the dark, and then in the day and the days since, we have spent a good bit of time traveling around Coshocton County. And looking at the various damage, you know, it's widespread. It's from one end of the county to the other, and it's just like you know, every storm we see anymore. You see some areas that are, you know, literally unscathed. To other areas, it looks like a bomb went off. You know, the bulk of the damage is tree damage, and we looked at the damage, got pictures of the damage. And then yesterday I was on the phone with the National Weather Service. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Yesterday we put a post on our Facebook page, in regards to that conversation with the National Weather Service. Part of the reason that we got in touch with the Weather Service, was to share information. And we had done that already. We had sent them some pictures, of some of the damage just so that they can see, what we're seeing on the ground here. That helps them in their weather reporting. That helps them in their forecasting. That's something we've always done. But the purpose of the phone call was there was some misinformation that was going around Coshocton County that there was a confirmed tornado, and we wanted to dispel that misinformation, and so that, you know, and a conversation that I had with the National Weather Service was based on the pictures I'd been able to send and then describing the damage that we were seeing, and that's how it was determined that we saw straight line winds, and possibly some downbursts too, and a downburst really is just a column of air that just shoots straight down, hits the ground, and then straight line winds go in all directions, and straight line winds can have speeds of, you know, upwards of 100 mile an hour. And I know Jeremy and the news was talking about the confirmed tornadoes, the tornadoes that have been confirmed, and they have wind speeds a little over 100. So when we look at these, you know, straight line winds are as destructive as tornadoes. That post wasn't to take away from the fact that we had a significant event. It's purely just to, you know, dispel that misinformation. We have damage throughout the county. We have thousands of people in Coshocton County without power. We weren't taken away from that for sure. I am one of those in the thousands of people that still today on Friday, I still don't have power. I'm not taken away from that. We're just trying to clarify what the actual situation was.
Well, and with tornadoes and the public eye, tornadoes are they're spectacular, they're sexy. You don't see Jim Cantore interviewing somebody on his patio talking about a straight line wind that came through, but those straight line wind or downbursts can oftentimes cause as much damage.
And when we look at, you know, tornadoes, when we look at an EF0 tornado, which is the lowest grade tornado there is, straight line winds have, those wind speeds are greater than an EF0 tornado. And as we saw with, back in 2012 and this now, straight line winds are very destructive, and they can cause more widespread damage than a tornado. And if we look at the system that came through Monday night, the damage that we have in Coshocton County, it's from one end of the county to the other. A tornado is not going to cause, damage that wide, and that length of an area. And we saw some big trees that were taken down by this, trees uprooted, trees snapped in half, and tree limbs. There are some homes that have had trees fall on them, and my heart goes out to those homeowners. We don't want to see that. We don't want to see power go out either, especially to the level we have seen this week, and what we see. Troy and I have talked about this, several times, with this system, and we've had some conversations prior to this even happening. Things like trees and bushes and weeds even, everything, this spring seemed to, one, it grew really quick, and everything seems to be a little greener than it normally is. It makes us wonder, are we seeing, more leaves on a tree, which causes more wind load, and can cause, the wind to actually bring those trees down or cause tree damage. And that's what we see with these storms in the summer, because the leaves are on the trees. And it basically, as I explained it to my son, and it's dependent upon the tree, too, and what kind of leaf that tree has. If you have a tree that has a broad leaf and, it blocks all of the sun, those leaves actually act almost as a parachute. Where if it's a leaf, my property, I have a lot of black walnut trees. They have a more narrow leaf and they block the sun, but you can see holes of light through it. So it's like a parachute with holes. So, those don't have as much wind load on them. A lot of the trees we saw were the big broad leaf, trees. The damage, like I said, driving around was kind of interesting. You might see a tree down here and a tree down there, and then you get to an area where there's six trees down, and then going down the road, and then there's nothing, and then six more trees, and it's really interesting to see, and driving around to see what areas had the tree damage and what areas were left mostly unscathed.
I'm glad you said that about, because I had wondered the same thing and didn't know it was my imagination, that the leaves and the foliages and the greenery did seem to come on and grow faster this spring. And it is still officially spring, by the way. So I had a similar question in my head. Didn't know if it was my imagination or not, but you believe that to be the case, at least for this year?
Yeah, it really looks like it. And this year, and you'll appreciate this. We decided at my house, we were going to try to do a little container garden. and we didn't start from seeds. We started from live plants, and they weren't very big at the time. They have taken off in those containers way faster than my wife and I would have imagined. So it's like. That seems to me to be the same case, I can't remember how long it's been that we've had those in this container. It hasn't been very long, and we have tomatoes already starting. And it's kind of shocking to me that they're already starting. We have jalapenos starting. It's like, and then when I'm looking in my backyard and the trees and the brush and everything is greener than it normally is, I think that that may have played a part in all of this.
All right, and I've got some little tomatoes on one of my patio varieties as well, and some peppers starting. But if I get started on gardening, I'll monopolize the time here. So back to tornadoes for just a moment. We're always looking for tornadoes. They are sensational. They are spectacular, and they do cause a lot of damage, although other things can do it as well. Might sound like a goofy question, but what defines a tornado? Does there have to be a touchdown? Does a funnel cloud count as a tornado? What officially in the National Weather Service is the definition of a tornado?
Okay, so and we'll use Monday's storm as the example. So that, you know, that storm rolls through, and there's extensive damage. To be confirmed a tornado, has to be actually on the ground and actual damage. One of the big defining factors in damage is, and this is what Troy and I were looking at as we went all around the county, is what direction, you know, the majority of what we're seeing is tree damage. Okay, you know, how are these trees laying? Are they laying in all directions? You know, are trees twisted and, you know, twisted and broken? Did they just, you know, did they break and just fall straight? So that's what we're really looking for. You know, if we have house damage, that's caused by wind, what kind of damage are we looking at? We didn't see, we saw very little house damage caused by wind. We weren't seeing roofs ripped off or shingles ripped off. It was those trees and they were laying the same direction. You could almost see, if Coshocton County was totally flat, you would be able to see, the direction of trees, you know, for a wide area that were all relatively laying in the same direction. You'd be able to see the path of the path of those straight line winds. And we did see, a couple clusters. We went to one residence, that had a large number of trees in the back of their property that came down. And looking at that, it can be confusing. And you know, when you look at it, you may think, well, no, I think it's, you know, it could be this, but, you know, it might be this. And looking at that, that was one of the areas, and I talked with the Weather Service about this, that I believe in that area there was actually a downburst just by the sheer number of trees that came down and the way those trees were laying, that they, you know, they experienced a downburst there because it was a significant number of trees. It wasn't a few trees. It was probably over a dozen trees, in a relatively small area. So we really look at, those things, tree damage. Are we looking at, what kind of trees came down? Are we looking at pine trees that came down? Were they uprooted? Did they snap in half? All trees, any of the trees, are they uprooted or did they break? That's a big factor. And then in the instance of utility poles are a good factor too, on what we see. And we did have some utility poles, just outside the city limits, that were all in a row, and they were all leaning in the same direction. So, that's some of the stuff we look at when trying to determine, whether it is a tornado or straight line winds. And typically for the Weather Service to come and come actually in person and make that determination, a lot of that is based upon the information they receive from the EMAs, the information they receive from trained weather spotters. And when they do come to the counties to make that determination, they're in contact with the local EMAs because, let's be honest, our Weather Service office is Pittsburgh. I'm going to be the better escort to take them around to the areas and then them just bring it up on Google Maps and trying to figure out where to go.
Does a tornado then, and you just explained very well about what you and Troy do and going out and assessing the damage, when or if there is a tornado, does it leave a distinctive footprint that no doubt that there was a tornado on that spot, or is there some gray area between a possible tornado and a straight line wind or something else?
Most times a tornado is pretty obvious, because you'll have, extensive damage and you can see more of a damaged path. Where what we saw was, with this storm was, some trees down here, skip a block and some trees down here, skip a block, some trees down here. Tornado would have been just, trees down, trees down, trees down. It wouldn't have been these almost random, locations. The path of a tornado is pretty distinctive.
All that information that you and Troy collected and all that that data, aside from obviously informing the public, what's that data used for? How do you record it? Where does it go? What's it used for in the future?
What I typically do when we have systems like this is one of the biggest things I do is pictures. And then, like any of the storm warnings we receive, any data that any information I get from our, and I talked about this on Tuesday morning, our amateur radio folks, and even yesterday with yesterday's storms, I got a lot of information from one of our amateur radio folks. I take that information and I keep that in a digital file, just for prosperity's sake, so that if we have another system come through, we can look back. And see if there's any similarities. And Monday night and Tuesday morning, I was doing exactly that. The derecho in 2012, that was my first big event here in the EMA. I was still the deputy director at the time. It was kind of interesting, especially like my road where I live, was really interesting because when I was on my way into the office shortly after midnight Monday night, to me, I was seeing the same thing, the tree damage, the tree debris, and so we look at those and we use them for comparison in the event that we have a future incident. And then depending on what kind of an event we might have, whether it's flooding or storms, especially with flooding, we look at that as, is this a repetitive thing? Is this something... is there some mitigation that needs to occur to prevent this from happening in the future? We use that data for a variety of means, and a lot of it has to do with if we have another event in the future, whether that's a week, a year, 10 years down the road, we have that historical data that we can go back and look at and see if there, like I said, is there some mitigation that needs to happen, or more preparedness activities that need to happen.
Collect the data and learn from it so it can be used for mitigation and safety in the future. It is 9:46. Rob, need to take care of some business here and hear from our sponsors. We'll be back once again right after these words.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
It's a great feeling doing business with John.
June 27th through July 1st is Customer Appreciation Week at the John Hinder Honda Service Center. Buy three tires and get one free. Save $50 on any AC service or get $20 off fuel induction. All service includes a free inspection, car wash, and flexible financing is available. Next to our Honda store on Route 79 Heath or HinderHonda.com.
It's a great feeling doing business with John Hinder Honda.
For winning Ohio Lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery Line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
June is Dairy Month, and at Pearl Valley Cheese, they're celebrating the entire month. They'll have specials throughout the store, plus on Saturday, June 18th, join them for Customer Appreciation Day. They'll have outdoor activities for the whole family, including large inflatables for the kids, food trucks, ice cream, and prize drawings throughout the day. Pearl Valley Cheese is located between Baltic and Fresno on State Route 93 in Pearl, and they're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
For a farmer, every day is different, and every season tells its own story. Make this the year you do it your way. Coron Metra is a foliar fertilizer that lets you decide when the time is right for nutrition. Metra gives you flexibility, it gives your tank efficiency, and Metra gives your crop more than just nitrogen. Coron Metra, the next evolution in crop nutrition. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration before use.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Sports Service at 623-9867. Hi, I'm Jamie Rice. At Jeff Drennan Ford, we have the inventory and the financing regardless of your budget or credit history. Stop in and see me for your next vehicle at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Hello there, Craig Abner with the Jeff Drennan Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealership on Otsego Avenue here in Coshocton. Summer is here and we have some sizzling deals ready for you. We are stocked with over 70 pre-owned vehicles, maintenance checked, fully detailed, and ready to go. We have over 50 one-owner vehicles in our lot to choose from, and with the majority of our inventory receiving good, fair, or great values per Car Gurus, there's only one place to stop to get a great deal this summer. Right here at the Jeff Drennan Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Dealership in Coshocton. Stop by or visit us 24 hours a day at cjdfcoshocton.com.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
At Advantage Tire and Audio, we strive to meet your automotive and side-by-side needs. You already know us for our awesome deals on tires and wheels, but did you know we have parts and accessories in stock for your side-by-side as well? Whether you want to make your side-by-side city compliant or the baddest on the trail, we have you covered. Check us out online at tireandaudio.com, where we make financing easy, or call 740-295-9200.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the lower 80s for tonight, clear, much cooler with lows in the mid-50s, and for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with highs around 70. Currently, it is 80 degrees in Coshocton. And cancellation to pass along, the Newcomerstown Saddle Club Horse Show that was scheduled for tomorrow has been canceled due to the current power outage and damage to the arena. So tomorrow's Newcomerstown Saddle Club Horse Show has been canceled, and power is being restored, but slowly. That's no consolation to some of those that are still without power, but we'll keep you posted and updated here on WTNS. We are back once again with Rob McMasters from the Coshocton County EMA. Just very quickly, Rob, we did have some severe weather that moved through yesterday. And after all is said and done, it didn't seem to be nearly as severe as what we saw on Monday. Anything of significance to report on damage or consequences of yesterday's storms?
Yeah, and I can say yesterday, looking at that radar, and my conversation I had with the weather service yesterday was yesterday morning, and I asked, I'm like, so are we going to see calm weather this afternoon? I was basically told not to hold my breath, and they were right on that. But watching that radar as the storms developed and started to come east across the state, and then the warnings started popping up, to the west of us, and then I was actually at home when it hit. But going home and the sky was getting darker and darker and darker, and then the rain started and the thunder. So I was keeping my fingers crossed that we weren't going to see a repeat of Monday. And I can say for the most part, we did not see a repeat of Monday. There were some, a few calls that fire departments had to respond to. And I know of one house that actually did have a tree, break and come down on the house. And I hate seeing that. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to anybody else. I know that doesn't, is very hard on our residents. And hoping that we weren't going to see a repeat of Monday night, I was, like I said, I was keeping my fingers crossed, and to see that we did have at least one tree come down a house, that I did not like that. And I actually did have a conversation with that homeowner about that. I was actually able to go and get pictures of that as well to add to our records. And then what I was looking at when that storm was coming through, it's like, okay, if this causes more tree damage, it's going to make things difficult to determine, okay, did that happen Monday night or did that just happen? And fortunately, I don't believe we have anything close to what we had Monday night.
And it stands to reason when you get a storm like that to come through and we have the oppressive heat that we have, that's going to be a hindrance to the hundreds of people that are working very, very hard out there to restore power.
And you're absolutely right. And if anybody has been out and about, they will have seen different, power crews that are working that aren't AEP and that aren't Frontier Power. With yesterday's storm, I actually did, I did end up coming in, and doing some driving around, and, a couple of those, outside companies are actually, have been, parking their vehicles at the fairgrounds, and they were actually there, when I was in town, and I stopped, and I thanked those folks for everything that they were doing for the citizens of Coshocton County. These are people that, have come here to assist our local power companies. They've they're here away from their own families, away from their own communities, to help our people. So, you know, I made sure to thank them and showed them some gratitude.
Well, Rob, I do want to review the warning systems that we have in place here in Coshocton County, the outdoor warning sirens and code red and other ways to give a sufficient warning when severe damage. Severe weather is coming through. Need to take another quick break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes once again with Rob McMasters from the Coshocton County EMA.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center is committed to prioritizing the safety of our patients. That promise of better care is reflected in our achievement of a Leapfrog Hospital Safety Grade A for safety excellence and a top 10% ranking for patient safety in the nation from Health Grades 2 years in a row. We strive to be the gold standard of care and have demonstrated that pledge to every patient with our commitment to patient safety. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Do you have any windows where the sun comes in too much? Graber Solar Shades offer varying levels of light filtering that can help keep too much sun from coming in, let you see out. Wilson Carpet and Furniture is your Coshocton dealer for Graber window blinds. Come see our large selection of solar fabrics and choose one that is perfect for your room. Wilson Carpet and Furniture, 230 Main Street, Coshocton. For your perfect window dressing, Graber blinds.
Hello.
Hi, Chris. This is Jody Meek with Century 21. I heard that you have some real estate needs. I can sell your home and find a new one for you. Have you heard that Century 21 will make a donation to a charity when the transaction closes? Chris, the client decides where the money will be donated. Let's get started. I look forward to making your real estate dreams come true.
To make your real estate dreams come true, call Jody Meek with Century 21 at 740-502-8890.
Sunshine today with highs in the lower 80s for tonight, clear. Much cooler with lows in the mid-50s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with highs around 70. Right now it is 80 degrees in Coshocton. We're going to have open phone lines next hour to talk about whatever's on your mind, whether it's the weather or movies or music or travel or gardening. We can do that next hour. We are back once again with Rob McMasters from the Coshocton County EMA. And flashing back to Monday night, once again, a lot of folks were rousted out of bed, at least older folks like me, just before midnight. Now, I'm going to share with you how things unfolded for me. It might not have been the same for everyone, but it was just before midnight. My phone went off. It made a sound that I'd never heard it make before, and it did. In fact, say that there was a tornado warning for Coshocton County. At that point, I turned on my television, which I still had electric at that point, and there was one of the Columbus TV stations that was covering it, and the tornado warning in Coshocton County, and there were some other parts of the state as well. And not more than a minute or two after I received that phone message, I heard the outdoor warning sirens. So using my experience as a perspective, can you share with us a little bit about the warning system that we do have here in Coshocton County? Oh, you still there, Rob?
Yes. Okay. The system that most are familiar with is our outdoor warning sirens. They've been in place for decades. So folks know, we don't have hundreds of sirens. There is a siren at the Coshocton Fire Department, one at the Coshocton City School campus, one in Canal Lewisville, one in Pleasant Valley, one in Warsaw, one in West Lafayette, one in Bakersville, and one in Conesville as well. Those sirens are tested on a monthly basis, year round. And we do that to make sure that the sirens are operational. Those sirens are maintained and checked on and batteries checked and on a regular basis so that we make sure that those sirens are ready when we need them. And then, you know, when they are needed for whatever reason, but, you know, this example, you know, what we're talking about today is the tornado warning on Monday night. Once that tornado warning is issued, the sheriff's office receives those warnings as well as we do. And when that warning is received at the sheriff's office, that is actually who activates those sirens. They activate the sirens. And then with code red also, when that system receives the warning, it sends a call out. Now, when we're looking at the sirens, I just gave the location of those. You know, we know that those sirens aren't going to cover the whole county. Not everybody's going to be able to hear those sirens, and that's where the Code Red system comes in. But something to keep in mind too is, like, the alert you received, Mike, was likely the wireless emergency alert that said there was a tornado warning for Coshocton County. Code Red sent an alert out to those that were in the projected path of the tornado warning. And looking at that projected path, it was a relatively small swath of Coshocton County. And looking at the text from that tornado warning was for southwestern Coshocton County and the areas that included the areas of New Guilford and Cooperdale. So that while the wireless emergency alert showed that for being for Coshocton County, the actual projected path of that tornado wasn't for a large area. Code Red only sent it to those that were in the projected path of the storm and within the polygon that the National Weather Service uses for their warnings. Our sirens, when a tornado warning occurs, our sirens, when they're activated, they're all activated. To show that there is that severe weather, that there is that potential tornado, so that it alerts everybody.
So just to be clear, everybody in the county would have received the wireless emergency alert.
They should have. I received it on both of my cell phones, and my daughter and my wife did too. That's on all. Newer phones to receive those wireless emergency alerts, and they would have all said the same thing. If I were to actually look at mine and you were to show me what you received on yours, Mike, it's the exact same thing.
Okay. So those in Bakersville, although they weren't immediately impacted by the tornado warning, they would have received that alert, the wireless emergency alert, versus Code Red that will alert people that are in the polygon or the projected path.
Yes, and I can tell you, Code Red has been very active this week. It has sent out it has sent out 24 various notifications, and when we're looking at that tornado warning, it called 294 phone numbers. That's a very small portion of the number of folks that are actually registered to receive those Code Red calls. When we look at like the severe thunderstorm warning, once again, it's sending that out to those that are in the projected path of the storm. One call was 4,823. One was 4,830. So it's sending those calls out based on those that are in the projected path. The page is trying to update yesterday's severe thunderstorm warning. There were several of them. One call was 4,851 numbers. And something that is really interesting about Code Red, and you and I had talked off air about the warnings that come over the radio and our TVs that interrupt the radio programming or our TV programming. Yesterday, as that system was rolling through, there were a lot of warnings that were popping up as that system went through, and some of those weren't even for Coshocton County. I know as I was driving around. After the system had really passed through Coshocton County yesterday, warnings were still coming up for Guernsey and Muskingum counties, and the WTNS radio program was being interrupted by it. We see the same thing with Code Red. Sometimes it'll alert those that may live near the county line that are within Coshocton County. Because when they draw these polygons, they're not getting out magnifying glasses and getting real defined. They're trying to alert as many people as they can that may be in the affected area But we see the same thing with Code Red. With Code Red, I don't have a problem with that because we do have residents that literally live on the county lines. Just like, for example, if it's in Muskingum County, it's just kind of brushing the edge of Coshocton County. Our residents on that edge need to know that severe thunderstorm is headed that way. Code Red is still the resource that people that aren't within the listening area, if you will, of a siren, they need to sign up for Code Red if they want to be weather aware and get the warnings with for severe weather, because it's going to alert you. And if you put your address in there and it is tied to an address, and if you have your cell phone there and you're not home for whatever reason, if you're on vacation or wherever, and there's that storm that comes through, you'll know about it because it'll call your cell phone and give you an alert for your address. Especially if you're on vacation, you get multiple Code Red alerts, that might be you might want to call a neighbor or family member and say, hey, can you go check, we're on vacation, can you go check our house? It's really great in that aspect that it'll alert you to any emergency at your house, regardless of where you're at.
So the flip side of that is when you are on vacation and away from Coshocton in Florida or something, and there's a storm on the way in Florida, do you still get an alert?
Okay, I can say this. Code Red actually has a mobile app that you can download. If you're one that likes to travel, and this is a hint to you, Mr. Bechtel, if you download the Code Red app and you're in an area that uses the Code Red system, you will get those alerts if you're in an area that uses the Code Red system. And as far as Florida goes, I'm not real sure what the numbers are in Florida, but OnSolve is the company that operates the Code Red system. They are actually located in Ormond Beach, Florida. So I would say it's probably safe to assume that a large portion of Florida actually uses the Code Red system.
Is just some of the country, half the country, most of the country covered by Code Red systems?
There are a variety of systems that do mass notification, and we typically it's not uncommon for one of those other companies to actually call here and ask. And first thing they ask is if we have a mass notification system. And when I tell them we do, and we've been with them since 2004, that usually ends that conversation. But there are a number of mass notification systems across the country. And they all do the same thing. But I know of some that some are easier to use than others. And that's one of the key factors for me, especially with Code Red and the weather warnings. I don't have to do anything. If it's like a chemical spill or something like that, that's a manual call that I have to enter. But for the weather warnings, it's totally hands-off. I don't have to do anything. The system takes care of it.
What is your best estimate of the percentage of Coshocton County residents or phones that are signed up for Code Red?
It's nowhere where I would like it to be. And if you give me a second, I can actually tell you what kind of numbers we're looking at and why I do this. One thing I do want to let people know is with Code Red, your information that you enter, your phone number that you entered, is not sold, because none of us want any more scam calls, especially here in the EMA. We receive over 100 scam calls a week. We don't want to be contacted by telemarketers. So your information is secure with Code Red, so secure that I don't even have access, as the local administrator, I don't have access to the database. And for me, as the EMA director, I love that. Yes, it can be kind of cumbersome that I can't, like, especially when a customer call or a resident calls and asks if their number is still in the database. It's not a simple task of me looking it up to see if they are in the database, but the information is secure. Let's see, I'm trying to bring this up. I know at one point, it was estimated that there were approximately 60,000 phone numbers in Coshocton County, and that's just mind-boggling that is the case. It makes sense with everybody. You know, some folks still have home phone numbers. And some homes have multiple cell phone numbers. You have work numbers. So, at one point, we were less than a quarter of what that estimated phone number, total phone numbers in the county were. And something also with Code Red, it's not just phone calls you can receive. You can receive this by text message. You can receive it by email. But I will tell you that the phone call and the email and the text, it's going to tell you the same thing. And currently in the system is 24,126 phone numbers.
Out of approximately 60,000 phone numbers in Coshocton County.
Roughly. And that number has actually increased, a good bit over the last couple of years. I really like to see that. I like to see that number increase because I know how much of a benefit that Code Red system is. And something to keep in mind, too, is we can use the system not just for emergency purposes. We can use it for general information if need be. And here, I can't remember how long ago it was now, we got the system set up for the city of Coshocton, the village of Warsaw, and the village of West Lafayette to be able to use the system for day-to-day operations, like leaf pickup, snow removal, street closures, whatever it may be. Those three can actually use the system for those day-to-day operations that they have to take care of. And it's a great way to be able to communicate with your citizens, very efficiently, versus trying to, put a flyer on it. Like if you have to close the street, putting a notice on everybody's door that, hey, your street's going to be closed, or hey, this is when this is going to occur. You can just simply give them a phone call or send them a text message.
And both not just cell phones, but landlines for those that use a landline as well. You can sign up any phone line for Code Red.
Yes, and I can tell you, you gave your example of Monday night. My house, it's really interesting because for myself, I have a personal cell phone, then I have a work cell phone. My wife has a cell phone. My daughter has a cell phone, and we have our home landline. So when those warnings, when the thunderstorm warnings went out. That affected our house.
You heard lots of beeps.
Oh, yeah. It's like, okay. It's like you could quickly find your phones in the dark because the power had already went out. It's really interesting when that does happen. And that was one thing I did here recently. Our daughter hasn't had a cell phone very long. And one of the first things I did was actually sign her cell phone up to receive Code Red alerts so that she would know when there was severe weather. I remember when the first storm actually occurred. I asked her when she got home. I'm like, "Did your phone ring?" She's like, "Yes." She's like, "I knew it was Code Red."
now, Code Red for those 36,000 phone lines that don't have a Code Red. What is the sign up process and how intensive is it?
It's very, very simple. We have a link on our website. It's CoshoctonCounty.net/EMA and Code Red. That will take you directly to the Code Red sign up. All you got to do is click the logo. It'll bring you to the registration page. You enter your name, your phone number or phone numbers, and your address, and then you click submit and you're done. It may bring up a little map for you to actually be able to move the cursor to pinpoint where your house is. If you have to do that, you just pinpoint exactly where your house is, hit submit, and you're done. The sheriff's office also has it on their website as well. It's very, very simple. If you don't have internet access, you can call here to the office, 740-622-1984, and we'll help get you signed up for the service. And the real big thing with Code Red, it's 100% free to the residents of Coshocton County. You don't have to pay a penny at any time.
If for any reason, whatever that might be, somebody no longer wants to be on a Code Red, can you opt out of it?
That's very simple.
Once you're signed up.
That's very simple. When you register, you can actually create an account. But just like everything else, we all have created accounts for email addresses and banking and everything else, and inevitably you're going to forget the password. So, you know, if you don't create an account, and you've moved, or for whatever reason you don't want to receive those calls anymore, call here to our office, and we can add you to the do not contact list, and you will no longer receive those calls.
Anything else, Rob, you'd like to share with our listeners about Code Red?
No, and as far as anything else, you know, the cleanup from Monday night still continues. You know, have patience. I know everybody's patience is waning for those of us, and I can say those of us that are still without power. We have to have patience. You know, these folks, like I said, we have many folks from outside of Coshocton County in here helping our utility companies restore power as efficiently and most key factor as safely as they can. I know that the storms yesterday did hinder them a little while, but I can tell you that as soon as that storm passed, those folks, those fellows were right back to work. It was kind of impressive to see how quickly they were back up on in their bucket trucks and back to work. You know, the power will be restored. Fortunately, looking at the forecast, you know, the temperature is going to start. You know, we're going to get a break in the temperature finally. That's going to be nice. And the cleanup will continue. Looking at the extended forecast in the next week, we're good. I don't think we, you know, right now we don't have anything severe coming our way, at least for another week. I can't thank folks enough for everything they've done for their fellow citizens. I know with COVID, I talked about this a lot, and what people were able to do to help, you know, with donations and making masks and all that. And that has continued with this, what I'm going to call, you know, our local disaster. The number of, you know, the cooling centers that opened up, schools opening up the locker rooms for people to take showers. I saw on Facebook people putting coolers at the end of their driveway with bottles of water and ice, and the offers of, you know, hey, you know, if you're too hot, I've got a swimming pool, you know, come, you know, swim in the pool. You know, just, it really showed once again how we in Coshocton County, we really take care of our own. And in talking with, you know, other folks, other contacts I've had since Monday, and telling them, you know, what Coshocton County, what we have done for our people, it really, you know, surprises them. Because I can tell you, you know, when you get if you leave Coshocton County and you go to a big city, you're not going to see that family-like atmosphere where we truly do take care of one another like we're family. And I can't thank the citizens of Coshocton County enough for that.
Absolutely. It's not like that everywhere, something that we shouldn't take for granted. Rob, as always, thank you for being here with us today, talking about COVID and, in this week's case, the weather as well.
Thank you, Mike, and I hope to not talk to you until next month.
Okay, and likewise. So we'll talk to you in about 4 weeks or so. Thank you for being with us today. 17 minutes after 10, open phone lines up until 11 o'clock now, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. If you do want to talk about weather, if you'd like to talk about something else that's on your mind, you know, it is still spring. It is still officially spring for a few more days. We have not reached the summer solstice yet, so if this is what we get in the spring, what are we going to get in the summer? It's 18 minutes after 10. Phone lines are open till 11 o'clock. Let's get our national and international news now from the AP.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. The FDA has now authorized the first COVID-19 shots for infants and preschoolers. Now it's up to the CDC. Its advisors are set to discuss the shots today and vote tomorrow. The CDC director would then have to give her approval. An Episcopal priest in Alabama says they're getting messages of support from all over the world after a gunman opened fire at a church potluck dinner last night, St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Vestavia Hills. Police Captain Shane Ware.
A lone suspect entered a small group church meeting and began shooting.
Two people killed, a third wounded. The suspect's in custody. So far, no word on a motive. Captain Ware was heard there on WBMA-TV in Birmingham. There'll be more security now for the families of Supreme Court justices. The AP's Sagar Magani.
U.S. Marshals already protect the justices themselves around the clock, and their families will now get the same protection. The president signed the bill 8 days after an armed man who threatened to kill Brett Kavanaugh was arrested near the justices' home. The bill's backers said threats to the justices went up after the leak of a draft court opinion that would overrule Roe v. Wade, and the Senate unanimously passed the legislation shortly after. It was held up in the House while Democrats sought to include protection for the families of court employees. That ended up not being in the bill, and Democrats say they will work on it later. Sagar Magani, Washington.
President Biden is promising to try to get gasoline prices lowered. They're averaging about $5 a gallon now. The president convened a virtual meeting on climate change this morning, including some of the world's biggest economies. Stocks were up just a little bit after the opening bell. This is AP News. If you're planning to travel by air this summer, you may want to listen to this.
Airlines canceled more than 1,500 flights in the U.S. on Thursday, one of the worst days yet for travel as the peak summer vacation season heats up. On the same day that airline CEOs held a virtual meeting with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, airlines canceled more than 1,500 flights in the U.S. According to the tracking service FlightAware, more than one-third of all flights were scrubbed at New York LaGuardia, and more than one-fourth of flights were dropped at nearby Newark Liberty. The meeting came on the heels of about 2,800 flight cancellations around the Memorial Day holiday weekend and just ahead of July 4th. The airlines were asked about their summer preparations. They are struggling with a shortage of workers. Pilots unions say their airlines were too slow to replace pilots who retired or took leaves of absences during the early part of the pandemic. Norman Hall, Washington.
And I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
It is 21 minutes after 10 o'clock, 80 degrees now in Coshocton. And, well, we have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock, and it is Friday, and it has been a rather tumultuous week, especially for those that are still without power, but progress is being made, and AEP Ohio has put an estimated restoration time of 11 p.m. tomorrow. To have restoration completed, although they are making progress. Many people are getting their power restored before then. And as of yesterday, Frontier Power says that they hope to have power restored by Sunday. So phone lines are open between now and 11 o'clock. If you want to talk about the weather or gardening or travel or sports, the Cleveland Guardians have been on a roll. And have looked good. Well, there was some sloppy fielding yesterday, but by and large, the Cleveland Guardians have looked pretty good. They're doing what they're supposed to do if they're going to be a contender, and that is beat the weaker teams. If you play a team that's only won a fourth or a third of their games, you got to beat them if you are going to go to the postseason, and you got to play at least 500 ball against everybody else. But the Guardians have tiptoed into contention. They are, last I checked, and I don't know if Minnesota played yesterday, but the Guardians are 2 games out of first place now. I'm not looking at the standings, but they're pretty close. They're right in the thick of it here in mid-June. So the phone lines are open to talk sports, to talk about the weather, to talk to travel, gardening, or whatever else is on your mind today. Let's take our next call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike. It's me again. I'm going to quit calling for a while, but I just got things on my mind, and it's a talk show, so here I am. What I don't like is, I wish the glass house here in Coshocton, I wish they would have never opened. I wish they wouldn't sell vaping and stuff like that. I know there's a certain age, I'm sure, for you to get them things, but it still ends up in the wrong hands of our teenagers. And no matter what the age is, you know, just like smoking and drinking, I don't care if it's 25 or 21 or 50, it's still killing people, you know?
Well, they've got a market. What they're doing, they are doing it legally, and they will tell you that they are filling a demand here in Coshocton County. So it's a legitimate business, but your issue is the type of business that they offer isn't always good for people, and some of the things they sell can get in other folks' hands. Although there are other avenues as well, other than that particular business.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know. I mean, it's just like you can go into a store and buy alcohol. You know, you used to not be able to do that. And now it's just more like with vaping and, you know, the gummies and the marijuana, which did they pass that in Ohio, I think, where you can get that now if it's medical?
I don't know all the ins and outs of it. We do have certainly medical marijuana. We have a dispensary right here in Coshocton, County. So, yeah, that is legal. As of right now, recreational marijuana still isn't. There are some other products as well that are legal here that didn't used to be.
Yeah, and unfortunately, no matter what you do, you know, there's still things that people try to do, just like things getting to our, you know, the border, like, you know, the pills and stuff, the fentanyl or whatever. That's killing the people, you know, illegally. Pills get shipped into the United States, and that's another scary thing. And I'm totally against drugs, you know, but it just brought to my mind about the glass house. And I just wish that service wasn't available, but, you know, there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, alcohol, I've got to disagree with you a little bit about the alcohol. I guess my observation would be that it's stricter now than it was at least a generation or two ago when I was a kid. When I was a kid, they had what they called low beer with alcohol content less than 3.2, and it was really not that difficult to go someplace if you were 17 years old and figure out where to get that alcohol. There might be some that get away with it today, but it seems to be a lot stricter. Furthermore, the drinking age and the age for sale of alcohol is 21. So that, I think,
yes,
has moved more in a stricter direction than a less strict as far as vaping goes and the products with THC in it. There does seem to be more and more of them out there.
Yeah, and that's what's scary. And I also want to say, I think they're coming up with drinks that people can drink and not have the alcohol taste, but it's still, I don't know if it gets them drunk or what, but that's a new thing I heard, and I don't know how true that is.
I haven't heard of anything specifically what you're describing, but I can tell you that there are alcohol drinks, particularly some of the sweeter ones that have alcohol in them, where the taste of the alcohol is undetectable or barely detectable, but that's nothing new.
Yeah, I'm just saying now they're trying to come up with drinks where there's absolutely no taste of alcohol in them, but it still gives you the same effect.
Yeah.
Except it don't give you a hangover, but you still
don't know
how much you're drinking.
Okay. I gotta look into that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Okay.
You know, so people really, you know, the taste of, let's say somebody likes a certain flavor.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't get a hangover, you know, but they're still getting the same effect of, well, it's still making them maybe drunk, in a sense, but not really feeling bad. You know, I don't know if there's still be an alcohol poisoning.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I haven't heard anything quite like what you're describing. I guess I have always been of the belief that if you drink anything with alcohol in it to excess, you run the risk of a hangover or the ill effects.
Yeah. Well, that's what I called in today for.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. It is 10:29. The phone lines are open between now and 11 o'clock this morning, 740-622-1560. I almost gave my home number over the air. We have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock. If you do want to talk about it, I had the story yesterday, and it was a bus driver. Forget where it was. And his claim, dubious claim, but I can... there is an element of plausibility to it that he was a bus driver and he was munching on some gummies, thought they were candy, and ended up pulling the bus over and passing out at the wheel. And it turns out that you guessed it, they were laced with THC. And in that case, it is something that looks like a candy, acts like a candy. And presumably, in his experience, tastes like a candy, but is not meant to be a candy at all. And I don't know about you, but if I'm eating candies, like the little jujubes or gummy bears, I'm going to eat more than one or two or five. And that's what this guy did, and ended up in a bit of hot water. The big question is, how do you not know? How do you look at the container and not figure it out? How do you come in possession of something like that without knowing what's in it? But there is the possibility of something like that to happen. So I don't know if I believe him or not, but that's what he said. So the phone lines are open. We can talk about that if you would like. It is Friday, so if you do want to talk about travel or movies or music or sports, we can do that as well. Open phone lines up until 11. We have another caller waiting. Going to try to stay on schedule this hour. We'll be back to the phones right after this.
Summer is in full swing. If you think you're hot, well, so are your trees. You can help your trees by watering them, especially if they're newly planted. During the hot, dry summer months, your trees could use a water boost. Watering new trees a few times a week will help them survive while they're developing their root system. So don't forget about them. To find out more about watering trees or to find a certified arborist near you, go to treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
For 175 years, the Ohio Education Association has been proud to lead the way for great public schools for every child. Our members are teachers, professors, bus drivers, school nurses, and more. And we believe in our students, but we need your help. Ohio needs more educators of every background, race, and gender. Our kids need to see themselves in their curriculum and at the front of their classrooms. We need you to join us. Become an educator.
Hi, this is Mary Lou from Valley ATV Polaris, a preferred partner for Polaris. 2022 Polaris Rangers, Razors, and Sportsmans are on sale at Valley ATV in Danville. Order yours now at Valley ATV Polaris on Jellaway Road in Danville, where you can test drive in the dirt before you buy.
Or go to valleyatv.com. See Valley ATV Polaris for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Sunshine today with highs in the lower 80s for tonight, clear, much cooler with lows in the mid-50s, and tomorrow mostly sunny with highs around 70. Currently it is 80 degrees in Coshocton. We have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock, and let's take our next phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Just out driving, pulled over to call and little bit of response to the last caller that you had. I think it's a slippery slope and a little bit dangerous to, even if you don't agree with a business, to call a local business out on the air. And, you know, people put a lot of money into putting a legal enterprise together, and it's hard to run a small business, and it's hard to get your livelihood from that. So, you know, just because we don't agree, it is, they are not running an illegal shop, and it's just a slippery slope when you start calling people out with just things that you don't agree on.
Well, and it's not necessarily things you don't agree on, because there's lots of that, and that's kind of what we do here. But when it comes to businesses, yeah, I agree with you, and I didn't say much to her a little bit, but I've often told people, if you got a beef with a business, take it to them. Don't bring it to the talk show. But the one she mentioned is a legal business, as is the cannabis medical marijuana dispensary, as is various bars and as is various places that that sell alcohol and tobacco. We might not agree with those substances either, but they are conducting legitimate businesses. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Right. Yeah, you could get cigarettes at just about, you know, I don't know how many places in Coshocton, but it's one of the largest killers, you know, known preventable deaths. So, but anyways, she also brought up a point about a non-alcoholic alcohol, if you will.
Oh, now, what do you know about that?
There are some, and the only thing I know is that I had ordered a an elixir that is distilled like alcohol would be, but it's non-alcoholic, and it is made with different herbs and different basic flowers you know, those kinds of things, all natural ingredients. And what it is, it's a calming effect, and I think they might even use hemp, which is, you know, a cousin to the marijuana plant. And but I have received these, and they're actually quite tasty. And I don't know if it delivers on what it says. I mean, it's if you don't want to have an alcoholic drink and you want to relax and have something, you know, a glass in your hand, that's a nice alternative. You know, you can also drink fruit juice, you know. but those, the ones that I have tried, they do have a nice taste, and I think they do have maybe a natural calming effect. And so that's probably what she was alluding to. There's a lot of hemp-related products out there now.
Now that you mentioned that, that rings a bell about something that popped up on my social media feed, and I was intrigued by it. I didn't order any, but it was making claims like that, said it didn't have any alcohol in it. It came in a pretty bottle or a pretty can. Right. The packaging looked good, but it, just from what I understand about how alcohol works, that might be some marketing, but if you drink something to excess that does have alcohol in it, then you are going to run the risk, for those that are susceptible to them, you're going to run the risk of hangover. I don't think that anybody's invented a vodka yet that if you drink a half a bottle of Grey Goose that you won't get a hangover from it.
Correct. Right. And there's a lot of things happening out there in the hemp world, too. There's products, Delta 9 being THC, which would be commonly known as marijuana, or just the marijuana plant is Delta 9. There's a product called Delta 8, which is legal because of the 2018 Farm Bill that took hemp off of the controlled substance list. So you can derive, you know, that's where CBD comes from the hemp plant. But now the Delta 8 does contain some THC, but it's legal in the fact that it is under the heading of hemp and not marijuana, not THC. So a hemp plant can have up to 0.03% or 0.3% of THC legally, like this, your CBDs and things that you take. So normally you won't, with that degree of THC, you're not going to feel any of those effects when you take CBD, but they do have the other effects, like help people with calming nerves and anxiety and pains and different things like that. So CBD really has an upcoming place in its field too. And Delta 8 is probably the next thing that people can use that, but it does have a small intoxicating effect.
Well, you're up on your numbers and your statistics.
Well, I've done a lot of reading on it because it's for our pets, for instance. Our pets are getting older, and there's a lot of products out there in the CBD market that can help older dogs. So that's really nice too. So that's a really nice boon for pet owners if they can get some relief without having to use medicine or a synthetic processed a man-made medicine to give some relief to your animals. And you can get that so relief for yourself too. But that's not what I called to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, what did you call to talk about?
Well, I just called, my initial reaction was to what I said when we opened here about the slippery slope calling out of a business. And so...
Yeah, and I've said for years, don't do that. If you got a problem with a business, don't call here and call them out. They aren't here to defend themselves, especially one that is a legitimate business like the one that was mentioned.
Right on. All right. Well, I hope you have a great day, and we'll see if anybody else has comments, and we will talk very soon.
All right. It is 10:39. We have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock, and we'll be back right after this. For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery Line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Have you ever thought about volunteering, helping others, making a difference, being part of a team? If yes, then listen up. We think it's time that you added a new suit to your wardrobe. Become a member of the Jackson Township Volunteer Fire Department. All equipment is provided and paid training is available. Stipend program and paid per call for active members. Make a difference by helping in your community. Jackson Township Fire is located at 887 State Route 541, Coshocton. You can call 740-502-3809 or 740-291-8181 or email jacksontownshipfire8@gmail.com for more information.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Sports Service at 623-9867. Hi, I'm AJ Schreiber. At Jeff Drennan Ford, we have the inventory and the financing regardless of your budget or credit history. Stop in and see me for your next vehicle at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Thompson 99 is now open for dinner every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Doors open at 4 with last seating at 9 p.m. We offer a full menu, full bar, weekly specials, and a great atmosphere. We are located at 509 Main Street in downtown Coshocton. For reservations, call 740-202-0258, extension 1004. Join us for your date night at the Thompson 99. We look forward to seeing you.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the lower 80s for tonight, clear, much cooler with lows in the mid 50s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with highs around 70. Currently it is 82 degrees in Coshocton, and we do have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock this morning. Still plenty of time left if you want to weigh in on, our last caller knew quite a bit about the different Delta products, so we can talk about that if you like, and what's legal and what is illegal. And I guess my take on all that is that we're not that far away, and I think it's going to happen. I think it's inevitable because the pendulum is swinging in this direction in a strong way, that we're not that far away of the legalization of recreational marijuana here in the state of Ohio. If there is one, and I'm going to call it a social issue, that has changed dramatically over the course of my lifetime, that was it. When I was a kid in high school, and we had the police officers and people come in to talk to kids about drugs, there wasn't a lot of distinction that was drawn between Delta 8 and Delta 9 and marijuana and cocaine and heroin and all the others. Those were all drugs and they were all bad. And not everybody is in the same camp here. But over the last generation or so, there's been more of a distinction that's been drawn between marijuana and other drugs. And when I was a kid, it was heroin and cocaine. We still got the heroin out there and cocaine, I'm sure. Now we're dealing with meth and fentanyl. But marijuana, a lot of people, dare I say, most people do not put them in the same category. So your thoughts, give me a call and let me know. We can talk about that if you would like. But it's Friday. If you do want to talk about sports or travel or the weather or gardening, give me a call. We'll take another phone call right after these words.
Ashton's Aesthetics, located inside Wild Styles Hair Studio on Main Street, is excited to announce she's now accepting appointments. Ashton's Aesthetics offers these services: microblading, powder brows, and brow henna. Ashton also offers dermaplaning, different types of facials, lash lift, and tints, and a variety of wax services. For a full list of services or to schedule an appointment with Ashton's Aesthetics, call 740-295-9425 or find her on Facebook and Instagram. Leave your appointment feeling confidently beautiful.
Sandcast is excited to be hiring production employees for their cast iron foundry in Coshocton. Candidates capable of passing a drug test and willing to work third shift should apply. The position has a starting wage of $19 per hour for general laborers and $16.50 for light duty, 35-pound max, plus 60 cents differential for third shift. There's also an $850 attendance bonus every 4 months, and all new employees start day one with competitive medical benefits, 401k matching up to 6%, able to earn 2 weeks vacation during the first year with an additional 3 paid personal days, and overtime is available most weeks. Apply online by visiting the WabTech website at wabtechcorp.com/careers and enter Coshocton as the location.
It's a great feeling doing business with John Hinderer Honda.
June 27th through July 1st is Customer Appreciation Week at the John Hinderer Honda Service Center. Buy 3 tires and get 1 free. Save $50 on any AC service or get $20 off fuel induction. All service includes a free inspection, car wash, and flexible financing is available. Next to our Honda store on Route 79 Heat or HindererHonda.com.
It's a great feeling doing business with John Hinderer Honda.
Summer is in full swing. If you think you're hot, well, so are your trees. You can help your trees by watering them, especially if they're newly planted. During the hot, dry summer months, your trees could use a water boost. Watering new trees a few times a week will help them survive while they're developing their root system, so don't forget about them. To find out more about watering trees or to find a certified arborist near you, go to treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
For 175 years, the Ohio Education Association has been proud to lead the way for great public schools for every child. Our members are teachers, professors, bus drivers, school nurses, and more. And we believe in our students, but we need your help. Ohio needs more educators of every background, race, and gender. Our kids need to see themselves in their curriculum and at the front of their classrooms. We need you to join us. Become an educator.
This look at the weather is brought to you by locally owned and operated Rick's Auto Sales and Repair. The ASE Blue and iCar Gold certified technicians at Rick's Auto Sales and Repair can handle all of your auto repair needs, from dents and dings to major collision repair. Rick's Auto Sales and Repair, located on South 2nd Street, or call them at 740-622-3471.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the lower 80s. Clear tonight, much cooler with lows in the mid-50s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with highs around 70. Currently, it is 82 degrees in Coshocton. And let's take our next phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, do you have any of them little fly-like bugs on your plants?
I'm not sure specifically what you are talking about. I haven't seen anything so far, and to be honest, I haven't paid that close of attention, but I haven't noticed any pests so far. I have in the past on plants, particularly eggplants and some others, little itty-bitty, I mean real tiny,
yeah.
Flies that and they nibble holes in your leaves. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So are you having them?
Well, you know what I took care of them with? Is flour, what you bake with.
Oh, okay. Well, that would seem like a good, natural, non-toxic way to do that.
I just sift it all around it, and they don't even bother. They don't even come around it.
Is it your tomatoes that they're
tomatoes
on?
Tomatoes and peppers.
Okay.
And my peppers are probably, sweet banana peppers is probably quarter inches long. And my tomatoes is about the size of your little finger. And
the plants, or you have fruits on them?
Sir, what?
do you have fruits to actually tomatoes on your plant or the plant itself? Okay, all right.
No, I got there's fruit on them. There's peppers on them and tomatoes on them.
Mm-hmm. When did you plant them? When did you put them outside? Yours are farther ahead, farther along than mine are.
What's the date?
It is the 17th of June.
Well, the 15th of last month.
Okay, all right. You got them out earlier than most people did, earlier than I did. So, something to be said for getting them out as early as possible.
Yeah, they're coming good though.
Well, good. How many do you have? How many plants and peppers do you have?
I only got three banana peppers and three Berthas, big Berthas, and three tomato plants.
Okay. All right. Very good. And if flour works, that's a good natural way of doing it. You sprinkle flour on your tomato plants. That's non-toxic. It's not gonna hurt you if there's some residue left on your tomatoes.
And right on the dirt. Just throw it on it.
Okay.
Nothing comes around. The robins don't even come around to get the worms.
Huh, okay. Worth a try.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for calling. 10 minutes until 11 o'clock is the time. And I still don't have I've got most of them, but not even all of my seedlings in buckets yet. It has been slow going, but I've got probably about 20 tomato plants and at least that many pepper plants that are out. And I said, I know, I've said I was going to scale back this year. And I did when it came to planting seeds and having seedlings. Last year I grew so many that every room on the top floor of my home that had access to light had some plants in it. And I'm talking about, let's see, 4 rooms and 5 if you count the patio. This year it did not get beyond my kitchen. But the time came where I did grow, I didn't want to just throw them out. So I am recycling the soil that I got. Yeah, last year I have not spent one thin dime on gardening this year, which is in a heavy contrast to last year where I bought a bunch of soil and tomato cages and seeds and fertilizer. This year I'm using everything left over from the year before. We'll see how that goes. I'm a little worried about the soil, using that soil for more than one season. So I'll give you a full report. But our last caller, sounds like he's off to a great start, has tomatoes and peppers on his plant here in mid-June. It is 10:52. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bueller's Restaurant inside the Coshocton Bueller's now has new extended hours. The restaurant is now open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. The Bueller's Restaurant will have their Friday night fish fry continuing every Friday until 8 p.m. They offer daily specials, a new 8-ounce local steak burger, delicious food, all while providing fast and friendly service. The next time you're shopping at Bueller's Fresh Foods, make sure you stop by the Bueller's Restaurant for a delicious meal off their menu or try their large selection of items on their salad bar.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
You've heard of White Woman Street and White Woman's Rock. Who was this white woman so memorialized in Coshocton? She was Mary Harris, the first identifiable resident of Coshocton, a Mohawk peace emissary, and a kind grandmother. The book, Mary Harris, The White Woman of the Ohio Frontier in 1750, describes her entire life with new archival evidence. Available exclusively at the Johnson Hummerkaust Museum for just $15.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Hi, this is Mark Lacey with Old Town Realty. As you well know, country property is in great demand. Recreational land is always in short supply and tends to sell quickly. I have a long list of good, cash, and bank-qualified buyers actively seeking land. If you are considering selling your property, just give me a call. You can reach me at 740-502-3074. And remember, if you think land, Mark Lacey's your man.
Hi, this is Carla Norris from the Howard Hanna Real Estate Services Coshocton office. Everyone needs a place to call home where they can feel comfortable and be themselves. Real estate is more than buying or selling. It's about creating relationships. Give me a call at 740-502-1881.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the lower 80s for tonight. Clear, much cooler with lows in the mid-50s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs around 70. Currently, it is 82 degrees in Coshocton. A cancellation to pass along the Newcomerstown Saddle Club Horse Show, scheduled for this Saturday, has been canceled due to current power outages, and also damage to the arena. So that's the Newcomerstown Saddle Club Horse Show for tomorrow has been canceled.
Did you know that the Coshocton Public Library has free genealogy databases? To find out more about this service, join the library and the Coshocton County Chapter of the Ohio Genealogical Society for a digital genealogy program on Tuesday, June 21st at 7 p.m. This partnership program will be held at the Coshocton Public Library, and local genealogy experts will be available to provide research tips. To register, please sign up online at coshoctonlibrary.org or by calling 740-622-0956.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
Attention, high school juniors and seniors. Are you ready to start your career and set yourself up for success? With the Ohio Army National Guard, you can start serving now while still in school and become part of an elite group of men and women who have sworn to serve and protect this community, state, and nation. Start fulfilling your dreams today with an education that will help you land the career you've always wanted. Contact me today, Staff Sergeant Hogan, your local Ohio Army National Guard recruiter at 740-602-0577. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard, aired by the Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course. Who's asking?
I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think you would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, crew. Let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Dad! Come on! Over here! Look at this, Dad! Over! Whoa!
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him?
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, biking, fishing, or camping. Or do your own thing when you get there with family and friends. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
That wraps up our Communication Lines program today. Thank you for calling and thank you for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And I want to thank Rob McMasters, director of the Coshocton County EMA, playing double duty today. And he's the spokesperson for the COVID-19 Unified Command. So we got our latest COVID information and numbers and trends here in Coshocton County, and also looking back on the severe weather that we had here in the county over the weekend as well. Again, this announcement to pass along, the Newcomerstown Saddle Club Horse Show for tomorrow has been canceled. Weather forecast calls for sunshine today with highs in the lower 80s. Tonight, clear, much cooler with lows in the mid-50s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs around 70. Clear tomorrow night and cool with lows in the upper 40s. For Sunday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. So Sunday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the mid.
Listen to the WTNS Communication Lines Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. on WTNS FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.
50s and for Monday, partly sunny, highs around 80. Right now it is 82 in Coshocton. This is WTNS FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 11 o'clock.